The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by John Budden to look ahead to the best of Friday's racing. A cracking Friday we've got in store as well. Racing at Ascot, Fontwell and Hexham domestically in the afternoon. There's evening cards at Wolverhampton and Dundalk to look forward to. Also an afternoon card at Garran as well. So something for everybody on Friday. We're going to focus on four contests at Ascot, with it being the flat season and all. We've got four races coming up there. Six races of high quality for a Friday at Ascot as well. So some good stuff there. And we're just going to have a quick look ahead as well to the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Of course, that coming up over the weekend over in France. And promises to be a cracking renewal as well. But first things first, good afternoon and a warm welcome to the podcast. John Budden, how are you, John?
Yeah, I'm pretty well, Alex. Yeah, it's a great weekend's racing. There's no question about that.
It is. As I said, we're gonna get to the Arc. In fact, just before we talk about the Arc, just going to touch on some news, of course, that has been dominating the racing for the last couple of days, which is, of course, Aidan Coleman, who assaulted at Suddle following racing on Tuesday. Plenty of fallout from that, but just not something that we want to see, is it, John?
No, it isn't. I think security's got to be stepped up. To be fair, at the race courses that I attend, admittedly mostly on the northern circuit, the security is extremely good. Any problem during the afternoon at bars or what have you is generally stamped upon or dealt with immediately. And, of course, again, at race courses like Musselburgh, Carlisle and so on, the weighing room is pretty separate from the other entertainment areas, as you might say. And certainly, in my knowledge, the security men at those weighing rooms never, ever leave the jockey's changing room until everything is over, all jockeys have gone. Mm-hmm. I think it was very unfortunate, but our own Mark Slater was commentating at Suddle, and he remarked that he had seen the group of men and two ladies involved getting really very, very over the top as far as drink was concerned midway through the afternoon. And I suppose the question has to be asked, perhaps they might have been asked to leave earlier.
Possibly. Hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it, John?
But, it is, yes.
But no, we don't want to see anything like that. So I hope that Aidan Coleman's okay as well. Obviously, he was riding yesterday, wasn't he? So
yes, he's such a nice man, Aidan Coleman. He's a tremendous jockey, of course, but he's a great communicator, and typical of Eddie that, of course, he didn't really want any fuss to be made about it at all.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we'll move on to Sunday's Arc then. We've got the betting here, John. Trev is even money to go for a historic treble in the race. Golden Horn, who's been supplemented 4-1, New Bay 11-2, and then 16-1 for Found and Free Eagle, 20s for Flincher, and 33s or bigger the rest. The market has it as a three-horse race of sorts here, John, between Trev, Golden Horn and New Bay. Three horses that obviously have got top-class credentials to take part in this race, but we have to start with the favourite, even money about Trev, as she bids for a historic three-timer in the race. Do you think she can do it, John?
I'm going to oppose. Ooh. I'm not going to say she won't do it. Mm-hmm. Alex, I think everything depends on the ground. Will, for example, the Longchamp authorities, if it remains dry for the next sort of 24 hours, throw on water? If they do, and then it does rain a bit, shall we say, on Sunday afternoon, then the ground's going to be soft. Mm-hmm. Now, that is going to favour very much the two French horses, and that there has to be a temptation. We had a lot of emails on Wednesday afternoon suggesting that the Longchamp authorities would water in order to favour Trev and New Bay. if it does happen, then I think Trev's got a really tremendous chance. Obviously, she appears to be in much better form than she was last year. And, you know, she is very confidently talked up by connections this year when that wasn't the case 12 months ago. But the stats, I'm not a great stats man, Alex, you are, I know. But the stats would suggest she's got a big task ahead. I think See the Stars is the only odds-on favourite or even money really short-price favourite to have obliged in the ARC in recent years. And on the whole, it's a difficult task. I think myself that I hope she wins because she's obviously a marvellous fill-in, has done tremendously well. And for racing-wise, front page news, all that kind of thing, Trev's victory in the ARC would be grand. As far as punting is concerned, I'm going to slightly oppose.
Okay, so we're against... I'd agree with you there, John, in the opposed camp. I think if she wins at even money, then we go... Great victory for racing, but I'm prepared to let her go unbacked at that price. The question is, John, what do you take her on with?
Ah, well, now, again, the ground is absolutely crucial. If the anticyclone lasts over the weekend and watering does not take place copiously and the ground is good, then Golden Horn's got to have a grand chance, Alex. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who suggest that Golden Horn's had a hard season and therefore will not be able to be at his best for the ARC. I don't agree with that. I'm quite certain the connections would not be running Golden Horn if they, for one single moment, felt that the colt was over the top, as you might say. And on good ground, over a mile and a half, with Frankie Dettori, the master tactician, on board, I think Golden Horn's got a great chance.
Okay.
The question mark horse is, of course, New Bay. Who's been lightly raced. Andre Farb, 8 times an ARC winner. This horse could be anything, and he is the fresh horse in the field with classic credentials. And the background between Monsieur Fabre and the ARC, as we all know, is really one of his favourite sort of races of all time. And therefore, New Bay's got to be very seriously considered. But on good ground, I should be with Golden Horn.
Okay. Dangerous to discount any of the others at bigger prices. I know we haven't spoken about them there, but the likes of Found for Eagle, Flincher, Dolnaya, Erupt, Tapestry, Eagle Top all deserve a chance in this kind of race. But looks like that they've got it all to do against the front three in the market. I would marginally just side with New Bay at 11-2, John. I think decent each way bet as well at the price.
Yes,
but I just think Trev, even money, even though she loves it there and she's got nothing to prove to anyone, I just think it's a funny track, isn't it? It's got its idiosyncrasies. I know that she likes it there, but I just think it's a little bit too short for me. So New Bay for me, Golden Horn for you, but whatever happens promises to be an absolute cracker on Sunday. We'll move on to the best of Friday's action then. We're going to look at 4 races at Ascot, and we'll start with the 3.25, a handicap over 6 furlongs with 14 runners down to go to post. It's a turn to the 3-year-olds here, John, and there's some 3-year-olds here that have had cracking seasons.
They have. And the draw, I think, is a question mark here. Quite a big field of over 6 furlongs at Ascot. From what I have sort of gathered over the past 2 or 3 months at Ascot, the old position that you'd like to be right up against the stands rails is not necessarily the case. So those horses which are, shall we say, drawn low, I don't necessarily think they are at a disadvantage. I've picked out 3 or 4 in this contest, Alex. It's very competitive. I start with Moonraker at the top. I do that because it's Mick Shannon and Sylvester de Sousa, and the champion-elect has got a marvellous strike rate at the moment for Mick Shannon. They haven't had a great number of horses together, but the ones they have done amazingly well. This horse ran quite well at York last time out, 6 behind Lucky Cristal. A decent race, but I think probably has got a certain amount to do. William Haggas is represented with two horses in the contest, and Ryan Moore rides Squats. I'm very much in favour of Squats, as opposed to Heartbreak Hero. I think that Squats has got a improving chance here. Good fourth to Right Touch at Ascot last time out. Right Touch, a useful horse. However, as the selection, I'm going for a Northern Invader here, Felix Leiter. A very decent two-year-old for Carl Burke, and looks as though he's coming back to his best form on the evidence of the last two runs. Last time out in a big field at Pontefract, ran a very creditable fourth on a track that probably he doesn't really like. Before that, an excellent second behind George Dryden at York in a very competitive handicap. Nicely weighted three-year-old Felix Leiter would be my choice.
Okay, Felix Leiter the pick in the 3.25. The 4 o'clock is next up. It is a listed stakes over a mile and 6 furlongs, once again for the three-year-olds. 5 runners going to post. And though there's only 5 runners, it's still fairly competitive, John. Le Roc is the only one that I think you could confidently discount because the other four have all shown decent form without being exceptional. It's a tricky little race, this.
Yeah, it is a tricky little race. Secateur has definitely got to be mentioned in this contest. And John Gosden has this in the lineup with Frankie Dettori to ride. Possibly the ground, just a little bit against Secateur, who shows his best form with plenty of cut. And unless, rather like the Longchamp authorities, Ascot suddenly throw water at the ground, it's not going to be, I think, quite soft enough for the likes of Secateur. The one that I think has got to be seriously mentioned is Pinup.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Fahey and Ryan Moore. Ryan Moore's got a great record for the Fahey stable, and they are in tremendous form. I mean, it's difficult, in fact, to compare another stable with the success achieved by Richard Fahey, numerically anyhow.
Consistent as well, isn't he?
Absolutely unbelievable. Right from the start, bang, bang, bang in April, and he's never stopped.
Never seems to be out of form, and the same can be said for Pinup. She's a filly going the right way and been in great form of late.
Well, I think Pinup's got a great chance in this race. Won't be enormous price with Ryan Moore and Richard Fahey, but an excellent win at Haydock last time out, and I think that that particular win would suggest that improvement is still to come. So Pinup would be a fairly confident choice in the 4 o'clock.
The 4.35 is the third race that we're going to look at, a handicap over 7 furlongs with 9 runners down to go to post. We'll start with Flying Hammer here, John, for William Haggas and Pat Cosgrave. He's a horse certainly going the right way. Just 3 career runs, a third at Newmarket as a two-year-old, and then this year wins at Chepstow and Kempton. Certainly going the right way and bound to be well respected in this.
Very much so. And, you know, it looks to me to have an outstanding chance. Interestingly enough, this is one of William Haggas's runners at Ascot, which has been ridden by Pat Cosgrave. The others are not ridden by Pat Cosgrave, but Pat has had a tremendous strike rate for William Haggas. I think the third at Newmarket, which you pointed out, is significant. People might say that Flying Hammer had won at Kempton and Chepstow, that they weren't particularly competitive races, but that excellent third at Newmarket definitely points out to the fact that Flying Hammer is a decent horse. Opposition, Goring is to me the one who's got a definite chance. Eve Johnston Horton's horses are in great shape at the moment, and Goring not only ran well, but won well at Newbury, beating a horse called Harlequin Strike, who is in this race again at Ascot, quite comfortably inside the last furlong. I was impressed with the acceleration shown by Goring. I'm going for Flying Hammer, but I think Goring will definitely be there or thereabouts.
Okay, Flying Hammer the pick in the 4.35. The final race we're going to look at is the 5.10, a handicap over 2 miles, 14 runners going to post for this one, John, and Plenty in with chances. It's got all the makings of a really good staying race, this.
It has, hasn't it? And, you know, the Gordon Carter Handicap has been a race that has been run in the autumn at Ascot for a very long while. It's not necessarily particularly high class, but it is quite a historic contest. Buckland is in the race with a chance. Charlie Fellows trains this. A fair second at Ascot, so there's form at the track. Second to Royal Signaler last time out, and it might go quite well. I'd like to see Clive Britton have another winner. He had a winner, incidentally, at Carlisle, Clive Britton, with a very rare radar up at the Cumbrian track earlier in the month. So his horses are in fair shape, but I have to say I think the Cape Castle has rather lost the early season excellence, and I think he's going to have to fight. The one that I really like in this race is the Cashel Man, and I think this horse has got an outstanding chance. An excellent win at Newmarket last time out, and he beat a horse who's gone on to win several times, Amour de Nuit, Sir Mark Prescott's stayer. Mm-hmm. Progressive form. Burmese has won for Marcus Tregoning. I don't think the contest had been that great. The Cashel Man, to me, looks as though he's got really good form and ought to score.
Okay, the Cashel Man, the pick then for John in the 5:10. Some great racing to look forward to on Friday. Thanks very much for your time, John. Best luck with your selections and enjoy all of Friday's racing.
Thank you very much, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.